Good morning. Hello. Oh, thanks. It is wonderful to be back. Good to see each and every one of you. I suspect I will connect with you personally, if not today, in the weeks ahead. But it is wonderful to be back and to see all of your smiling faces. You know, announcements are my favorite. Just a disclaimer, I do appreciate your grace as I get myself back into the groove, and as I announce about things that I am just learning this morning or just learned this week. But for those of you who are visiting with us, we'll both be hearing it for the first time, so there's good news in that. Welcome to worship here at St. John's. How good it is this week and every week to gather in the beauty of this place and to join in a spirit of worship with one another. If this is your first time worshiping with us here at St. John's, a special welcome to you. There are cards in your pews to fill out, little visitor cards. They're tan. They should be at either end and in the center. If you would take a moment just to fill one of those out. If you can't find it or can't maneuver it, ask someone around you to give you a hand. And you can leave those in the pews. You can put them in the basket on your way out the door in the back. Either way, you can hand them to someone. We just want a chance to get to know you, to reach out, and to say thank you for worshiping with us, and to answer any questions you might have. I trust that all of you know, whether visitor or not, that no matter who you are, and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So welcome. And I'm pretty proud of myself for remembering that. Okay, I do have quite a list of announcements. As always, as we gear up for an Advent season, there's lots of things to share, lots of dates to remember. So I will just dig right into that. The first announcement, the Montgomery County Concert Band Fall Concert will happen today at 3 p.m., and that is at Souderton High School. So if you're interested in being a part of that, head to Souderton at 3 p.m. A reminder from Grace Bruin, a hearing for the 2024 budget will be held after the December 3rd service. You can find a summary of the proposed 2024 budget by the bulletins in the back or on the side here. A vote on the budget will be held before the December 10th service. So the 3rd will be the hearing, the 10th will be the vote. So pay attention to those dates. As you can see, our sanctuary is adorned with beautiful prayer shawls. It is Prayer Shawl Sunday. I believe that we will hear more about that in the midst of our children's sermon this morning. But as always, a reminder, if you or someone you know or love could benefit from a tangible reminder of God's love being wrapped around them, please feel free to take a prayer shawl. This is a special ministry of our church. They are lovingly knit by hand by people who are a part of our community. We do ask, there's some tracking sheets in bags down right underneath the shawls and probably around them over there. We just like to know where they go. You don't need to share any intimate details, but we just like to know kind of the reach of this ministry for us. So please take a moment to fill that out if you do indeed take one. It is not too late to make your reservation for the Christmas tea happening on December 2nd at 10 a.m. Please contact Sally Jarenko to make a reservation. If you would like to bring a food item to share, contact Janet Morton. There is information about this, what I just shared, on the back of this green insert. So if you are interested in attending the women's Christmas tea, please take a moment to do those things. And I was mistaken because someone lovingly shared an actual announcement for me to read about prayer shawls, and I totally forgot an ad lib. So let me make sure that I didn't say anything that is not true. But shawls can be used as a comfort after a loss or in times of stress, during bereavement, for prayer and meditation, nursing a baby, during an illness and recovery, and for those in need of comfort and solace. So anyone is welcome to take one for themselves or for a friend. All right, you do have this green insert in your bulletin. This is very important. So in addition to the information about the women's tea, this side with the star on it is one of those things I love where you put it on your fridge so that you can remember the different events that are happening throughout the season of Advent and Christmas here at St. John's. This is helpful for staff as we organize everything, but it's also helpful for all of you, so we like to share it. I want to draw your attention to a few special things, some of which are a bit different, and as we embrace some changes and sort of help to clarify some things about why we do things and the spirit in which we do them, I just want to draw your attention. So on December 3rd, the first Sunday of Advent, we are sharing in Love Gift Sunday. I know this is a name change, but we're going to, with joy and good spirits, embrace it. It helps people who are not a part of our community to know what we're doing and why we're doing it. We've also been asked by the two missions that we support through that Sunday, Urban Promise and Old First, for multiple years to please not wrap the gifts because they have to unwrap them. So we will be meeting their needs as well. And it's also a good reminder for all of us, the spirit with which we do this. And the reason why we're all here that Sunday and every Sunday. So we look forward to December 3rd. The service will very much be pretty similar to what we've done in the past. You'll still bring gifts forward and offer them up. So just some slight changes, but a good reminder of the spirit of the season. I also want to draw your attention, there's a lot of things happening between that Sunday and Christmas Eve, but I do want to draw your attention to Christmas Eve. This year, the calendar is a little funny because the last Sunday of Advent is Christmas Eve. So we've had to arrange some timing a little bit differently. So we've tried to make it really easy to remember. On Christmas Eve, you can come to church at either 10:15 a.m. or 10:15 p.m. or both, if you would like. So our early service will be the same. Our Christmas Eve morning service will be on a Sunday morning. And then the later service, the evening service, will be at 10:15. So as long as you can remember 10:15, you can show up at either one, and we will be here celebrating Christmas Eve. And there's a little description for each of those services. They are a bit different right there on that green sheet. So lots of things to look forward to, lots more information to come, but this is a wonderful start. As always, I remind you to pay attention to your Enlightener and your Herald. They're chock full of information and dates. And if you have a question along the way, feel free to reach out to Reverend Dale, myself, or Lisa in the office. And one more announcement by Ann Kinsey about soup. I'm going to invite her forward.
Good morning. I'm Ann Kinsey, and I am here to tell you that the soup sales are back. My dear friend who's not here this morning, Barb Fritz, is going to put on her little apron and help us through this whole thing. We do need volunteers. We need volunteers to chop, to cook, and to package up the soup. So you can contact me through phone or text. This information will be coming up in the Herald and the Enlightener, so it's not on here yet, okay? But December the 10th will be the first day that we'll be selling our soups. So watch your Herald and Enlightener and look for more announcements, and we hope to see you there. Thank you.
Excellent. All right. Lots of information, lots of dates, lots of times. But I'm going to invite you to put those in another part of your brain. They'll be there later. But for now, I want to invite you to join me in taking a deep and slow breath as we very intentionally switch gears, set aside the things that might busy our minds and our hearts and prevent us from being fully present in this time and place, as we focus our hearts and our minds, and as we lift our voices to worship this morning.
Thank you. There is so much for which to be thankful.
Little things and big things. The ways in which God has blessed us with individual and community gifts.
There are so many opportunities for us to invest in God's realm.
Our lives, our passions, our resources. It all has the opportunity to flow together in working with God.
So let our worship be a time in which we celebrate the bounty of a good and gracious God.
We come now, loving God, longing to feel the holiness within us and around us.
Would you join with me now in our confession? Abundant and life-giving God, we confess that we take you and what you have given to us for granted. It's hard to get our minds and hearts to realize that we would be so much less without the love, grace, and gifts you have bestowed upon us. Sure, we would have power, agency, and the resources to get things done, but at what cost? There would be less compassion, less understanding, less love. Our hearts would be smaller and our patience thinner. And so we confess our short-sightedness, understanding that the closer we cling to you, the more human and humane we become. Forgive us and restore us to our rightful place as people aware of our gratefulness and dependence upon you. Amen.
Friends, sometimes it takes several occasions of missing the mark, falling down and failing before we finally figure it out. God is patient, understanding, and forgiving. It allows us to boldly try again, knowing our desire to please God, in fact, pleases God. Praise be to God. Be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. At once, the one who had received the 5 talents went off and traded with them and made 5 more talents. But the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.
Then the one who had received the one talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." No doubt a challenging gospel reading, and we pray for God's wisdom to shine some light on these words as we seek to apply them to our own lives.
I'm going to ask the children to come up, please, and join me up here. Thank you. I'm going to sit because I have a few things to show you. Come on up here. Thank you. Okay, so in the scripture reading, Matthew talks about talent. And what do you think, what did they mean when they said talent? Do you know what a talent was?
It's like...
it's money. And actually, one talent was worth 15 years of salary. So that's a whole lot of money. Imagine having 15 years of your allowance. That's a lot of money, isn't it? Okay. But the meaning of talent has changed through the years. It means now a God-given gift of something that you are good at and something you like to do. In Matthew's scripture, the two men went out and they doubled their talent, but the other one buried it. God wants us to use our talent, to spread it. He doesn't want us to bury it. So what's a talent? What do you like to do? Is there something you're good at?
I'm good at...
can you think of something? I know what you're good at. Sing. You sing in the choir. What else do you do? Do you do crafts? You have talent. You have talent. Just your smile and sharing things with other people is a talent. Do you ever make a craft and give it to somebody? Or make cookies? Baking is a talent. I can bake, but I can't cook. Well, one of my talents is crocheting and knitting. And here at St. John's, there's a group of people who like to do that. And it's called a prayer shawl ministry. And we call ours the Stitchers. Okay. So what we do, if you look, you see some beautiful prayer shawls around us. And the difference between a prayer shawl and a regular shawl is, well, first of all, it has one of these on it. Can you see what this is? What does that look like? Take it and see. What does that look like? Can you see what it looks like? Yeah, turn it over. Does it look like praying hands? So each prayer shawl has a praying hand on it. But as the shawls were made, we pray over them. I like to pray or think what I think that person might need, maybe some healing prayers or just to feel better or strength to get through whatever is going on in their life. So that's what makes a prayer shawl special. And we have a special prayer shawl that I want to show you. We call St. John's members sometimes a motley crew because we're all different, but we come together and we do God's work together. We also come here together on Sunday mornings and we worship and we pray together. So I need some help. Can you help me hold this? Can you hold one side of this? Okay. What looks different from this shawl than all the other ones? Well, if you notice, it's got a whole lot of squares like this. And they were all put together. We call this our Motley Crue prayer shawl. Because you'll notice, you might see some of the squares from some of the shawls around us. And we all made the squares, and they were put together, and we're a motley crew, and we all pray together. So this is a special one, and it's available along with all these other shawls that you see. Thank you. The stitchers also do other things. We make hats. And we make scarves. Some of them go to the homeless people, and others go to families to help them stay warm in the winter that maybe can't afford this, just like our warming tree that we have. We make the hats and scarves. Thank you. We also have, let me get in my bag. Thank you. This is something special. What do you see in the middle of that? Can you see what that is? What's it look like? A heart, you're right. This is called a love square. I know, doesn't that sound silly? Well, sometimes when a baby is born, the mother can't hold them. They need some help. They need to be in an incubator to start out life. Thank you. So what we do, we make the square, and the mother wears it next to her skin for a few days. Because then this is put in with the incubator with the baby, and the baby can smell the mommy. And the baby bonds with the mommy even while the mommy can't hold them. So that when the baby gets better and the mommy can hold the baby knows the mommy. So isn't that special? So the prayer shawl does many things. Many churches have this kind of ministry, but that's a little bit about St. John's. And you all are welcome to come up and get a prayer shawl for anyone you feel that may need it after the service. The only thing we ask is if you let us know the name of the person and where it's going. Because these prayer shawls have gone all over the United States, and I think there's even a couple that have gone internationally. So that's what our prayer shawl is. Okay. What?
Anything else?
I can.
Is there anything else that you can show in the back?
Yeah. Okay. All right, let us pray. Loving and gracious God, you have given us many talents. Everybody's talent may be different, but help us to share those talents and spread your love and kindness, not only to people we know, but to others around us. Let us pray the way Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for your help.
this bounteous God, this overflowing generosity of God, thank you, choir. Who's got their turkey for Thursday? At least one person.
Coming over.
This morning we heard a parable about abundance, about bounty. I suppose Jesus could have simply said to his disciples, you know, go ahead and use your gifts, your God-given gifts. But no, we get a parable. We get a provocative story. A story that we can remember. I want to tell you a story about abundance. Back in September, I received an email from the spiritual director at an addiction treatment center, asking if I could lead a Bible study for the leader who had to be away on that Monday night. Now, if I had been asked to celebrate a wedding, a funeral, host a Bible study at a church, or guest preach at a church, I would have had no apprehension about saying yes, providing those things. But leading a Bible study at an alcohol and drug treatment center, well, that seemed like territory beyond my scope. I haven't been trained as a drug and alcohol counselor, like the person I would be filling in for. Who am I to take this on? I thought to myself. But there was something in me that trusted the person who was asking me. And so with some fear and trepidation, I said, okay. I did some preparation for the Bible study, but didn't exactly know how to prepare. How would I engage folks? I thought to myself, I'm used to engaging people I know, even if I just know them a little bit. I'm not used to total strangers. This felt different. I showed up 15 minutes early to the meeting, and the room was entirely empty. And so I'm sitting there by myself, and I'm thinking, what if no one shows up? And then around 7 o'clock, people began to trickle in. And then suddenly, it seemed like a ton of people showed up. And filled an entire circle in a large room. And the people came in with energy. They came in with some enthusiasm, and certainly they came with some expectation. The This might be okay, I thought to myself. This might work. And as the Bible study unfolded, it was more than just okay. Something extraordinary, nearing mystical, began to happen. I remember we were talking about the Apostle Paul, who, as you know, was stopped in his tracks by the risen Jesus, who wanted to know why Paul was so hell-bent on persecuting Christians. People in recovery are well aware of the ways they have persecuted others. And in the same way, Paul had experienced an intervention, many of those who were sitting in the room that night had also benefited from an intervention. If only a realization that they were on the wrong path. Just like the Apostle Paul found himself. Folks in the room could identify with Paul in such a way that it made them feel as if God would not give up on them, just as God would not give up on Paul. Despite whatever level of destructive behaviors both Paul and they were known to have demonstrated. That night, the Spirit of God had entered the room, and what little I had brought to the hosting of this meeting had been way enlarged. Far beyond anything I could have imagined. It was as if God had taken two fish and five loaves and fed 5,000. It was, as Ken Hales said this past Wednesday night at our Bible study, abundance beyond the balance sheet. And as I reflected on the parable of the talents, I am always struck by how two of the slaves took the risk to invest what they were given. In one case, 5 talents became 10. In another case, 2 talents became 4. And as Margie Jewell shared earlier with the children, 1 talent in Jesus' day was worth roughly 15 years of a person's salary. 1 talent, 15 years of salary. The point is that talents are valuable, extremely valuable. And Jesus was talking about something more significant than just investing money. He was talking about investing your life, or not investing your life. We tend to assume that the unique gifts God has given to us are ho-hum, because the world so often takes human beings for granted. But not God. No, no, no. God does not take us nor our gifts for granted. And neither should we. In God's eyes, you and I are extremely valuable. So valuable, in fact, that Jesus tells this story in terms of significant sums of money to get our attention. Money always gets our attention. Yes. So each of us have been given gifts. Those things that we usually take for granted, things that are as much a part of us as is the air we breathe. Now, as individuals, we are not given the same number of talents, but remember, even the slave who was given one talent was given a vast sum for potential impact. Even the slave who was given one talent was given 15 years worth of value to invest. But that slave who was given the one talent, he buried it. Given that the master in the parable never told any of the slaves what to do with what was given to them, it does at one level make sense for the slave who was given one talent simply to bury it until his master's return. After all, he was being responsible, careful, diligent. What's so wrong with that? But is the gospel something to be tucked away for safekeeping? Is the gospel something to be buried? And I believe that is not only a question for individual persons of faith, but for communities of faith as well. Will you, as individuals, bury your faith along with the gifts God has given to you, or will you be bold enough to take the risk of putting yourself out there, trusting God will use them and use you? Likewise, how and in what ways should a congregation take risks by investing in the wider community instead of simply protecting what it has for itself? The gospel, the core of Jesus, his life, and his teachings, are they not to be spread around like confetti pouring down on a championship parade? Or are we afraid we would make bad investments? That we would somehow fail God and fail ourselves and reap the consequences of criticism, cynicism, and despair? And yet, this text is about God multiplying God's abundance. When does love not pay off? When does love not pay off? When does feeding the poor not pay off? Tell me. When does caring for the most vulnerable in our society not create more abundance for everyone? The slave who simply buried the talent was never given the chance to feel the power of giving, the power of risking, the power of knowing God was there, had his back, never got to see the way God could grow this talent through the Spirit. And according to the parable, he was to be thrown into the outer darkness. And yet he was already in the dark. He was already missing out on the joy. He was already lost. As we approach the Thanksgiving holiday, we are reminded that God is the God of abundance. It is God who makes abundance only through what God has given to us in the first place. The seduction is to believe that we created the abundance, when in fact we would be very, very little without God. It is this God who magnifies, expands, multiplies, and grows what we have been given. We are simply soil. We are the soil in which God chooses to grow abundance for the world. I know some smart aleck is going to say, oh yeah, then we're dirt. To which I would say, yeah, think about it. Without soil, without dirt, there'd be no food. There'd be no plants. There'd be no trees. There would be nothing without dirt. For God, there might not be much without us. We are the fertile soil. So God can do the growing. I want to leave you with two pieces of wisdom as we move into this week of Thanksgiving. First, don't eat too much turkey. No. Two pieces of wisdom. The first piece of wisdom comes from Ralph Waldo Emerson. He was a giant in the American philosophical movement in this country. During the 1800s, Emerson was very prolific in terms of helping Americans understand what it meant to be stewards. Emerson wrote, and I quote, "This time, like all times, is a very good one, if we but know what to do with it." And the second piece of wisdom comes from Howard Thurman, one of the most influential African-American pastors and theologians in modern history. He wrote these very inspiring words. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. End quote. The first two slaves in Jesus' parable came alive. I hope you and I can do the same. And that is good news. Amen.
As we move into a time of prayer this morning, I have a joy and a concern to lift up. A joy, I was very sad I didn't get to say goodbye to Rachel, the seeing eye pup, but we have a new little one. Lockett is front row, being held up for you all to see. So a wonderful example of someone's talent and a gift that Barbara Ann and her family have and that they share with us at St. John's. So welcome, Lockett. Lots of good puppy snuggles ahead. And I do have a concern to lift up this morning. I learned yesterday that Wendy Hunt passed away yesterday morning. We are still working with family and the funeral home to plan times for that service, but as we usually do when we don't get a chance to announce the time during church, we will send out an email with that information just as soon as we confirm it tomorrow. In the meantime, we ask that you please keep Wendy's husband Phil and daughter Donovan and all of their family and loved ones in your prayers. Each and every one of us come to this time of prayer with our own joys and concerns on our hearts and minds. We've got names and faces and situations weighing on us for joy or concern. And so I want to invite you to bring those to mind now as we lift our prayers up to God together. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for all the many gifts you have given to us, for food, for health, for each breath we take, for freedom, for the gift of your word, your wisdom, and your love. Our hearts are truly overwhelmed, O God, when we consider all that you are and how you have entrusted so much to us. May we be worthy of that trust. May we be a people who are unafraid to live as fully and richly as you want us to live. Help us, O God, as followers of your Son Jesus, to multiply all you have given us, to risk investing, to risk spreading your word, to risk loving those whom others think worthy only of hate, to take chances by doing good to those who have not done good to us. Help us to be faith-filled and to desire to increase your glory and goodness in this world. Make us ones who share in word and deed and spirit all that you have given us. We pray, O God, this day for those near and far who are suffering in body or in spirit, those who are grieving, those who are oppressed and heavy laden. We pray for those who are far from home or without a place to call home. We pray for those who are in the midst of war with others and for those who are at war with themselves. God, we pray for those in our community for whom life is heavy, days are long, and nights are longer. God, we lift up Wendy, and we mourn her passing, and we pray that you surround Phil and Donovan and Wendy's family with your loving embrace, with a spirit of comfort and peace. We pray especially this day, O God, for our world, a world that is so very in need of love. We pray for your hand of peace to be over and around and upon and within the people of Israel and Palestine and all of the Middle East. God, we also pray for those filled with joy this day, and we celebrate with them in that joy, recognizing you as the source of all good things. We give you thanks for your precious creation that is Lockett, and we pray for her journey towards using her gifts to help those in need. God, just as we pray for the world, we also pray for the communities closer to home of which we are a part, for schools and workplaces, family gatherings, and for this faith community. May we all continue to grow in discovering, developing, and using our gifts to make each place we find ourselves better than we found it. Lord, we know that you hear our prayers, those shared out loud and those residing quietly in our hearts. We lift them all to you, O God, knowing that you hear them and hold them. And for all of these things, we give you thanks. We pray all of this in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
We take time in the midst of our service this morning to share the gifts that we have been given, knowing that each gift makes a difference. Each gift contributes to living out the call that God has placed on this community. So I want to invite you to stand as we join in singing our doxology, as our gifts are brought forward, and we celebrate.
Gracious, wondrous, generous God, we offer these gifts, knowing full well that you created everything. And we dedicate these gifts, trusting you to grow the gospel, to heal the world, to bring peace. And so take them and use us for your work and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Following today's worship, I hope that you take the time to greet one another and welcome one another. and meet us downstairs for fellowship time. And while we're at it, let's remember that when we leave this place, we should be greeting others, that we should be smiling, that we should be welcoming one another with soft eyes. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace today, tomorrow, forever. Amen.